Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course. Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
Yeah, and what's up, everybody? Dave Destruction Sturcio here with another edition, episode 35 of Destruction 101. I am your host. I just said that, Dave Destruction Sturcio. I hope everybody's enjoying their week. As you're listening to this, I don't know how I'm going to feel because as I record this on Tuesday afternoon at 3:30 in the afternoon, the Yankees are playing tonight at 8 o'clock. So tomorrow when this drops, I won't be able to tell you how I feel, but the Yankees have a one game playoff, tonight against the Minnesota Twins. If the Yankees win, they are in the playoffs. If they lose, their season is over. I think it's a terrible, terrible idea. And it's only because I have a nasty, nasty taste in my mouth, from the previous time against the Astros, where it was just a complete dud, and you know, the Yankee season was over. However, this Yankee team that's about to play in this game tonight, they shouldn't be here, and they know that too. It was a rebuilding year, and everybody, you know, kind of wrote them off, said, you know, 81, 82 wins would make sense, you know, be a 500 baseball team, but they wound up winning 91, and that's there's something to be said for that. I think that, you know, they definitely overachieved as far as record wise. And if they win tonight, they're in a playoff scenario where, you know, you go to Cleveland, and we all know they're juggernauts if you're a baseball fan. I mean, you've seen what they've done. They won. They set a record for most wins in a row ever in the history of the game. So it remains to be seen. However, I think that, you know, like I said, if they can win tonight, which they should, and you know, they're heavy favorites, they should win tonight's game. But we've seen shittier things as sports fans when somebody, you know, look at history in sports. When the team is just okay, there's no shot in hell that they lose, they lose. It goes back to this NFL season, the Patriots game one. They're hanging the banner, they're feeling great, and the Chiefs come in there and steamroll them. But anyway, so yeah, we don't know how I'm going to feel tomorrow. However, we start this podcast on a sad note, and it's unfortunate. And if you obviously watch the news, obviously my thoughts and prayers are with everybody in Las Vegas, via the shooting and the attacks that happened Sunday night into Monday. Now, I have a couple friends out there who work out there, bartenders, customer service representatives out in the casinos. I do have like people that I've grew up with. It's not like, oh, I know a guy. You know, it's not like Ryback where I know him a little bit via wrestling, and so I should be like overly concerned. You know, I'm concerned for everybody. And it's a hard thing to understand, to you know, the fact of what goes through the mind of a monster like this. And it's a sad, sad deal to know that there are people out there like this. And this is not, obviously not the first time anything like this has ever happened. However, it's the largest. And, you know, it's a shame that, you know, everybody's united at a country concert out in Vegas, and country concerts are just huge, man. There's such a big following, and I've been to one in my entire life, and let me tell you something. The tailgate was unbelievable. Like the spirits are high. Everybody's just in a good mood. And for it to happen here in a public place with security the way it is nowadays, like, this is something that can't be prevented. I mean, we're talking about a guy who opened fire with a fucking arsenal of weapons, guns. You know, he had this all scouted out, man. According to reports, I mean, it looked like a very well thought out plan. And there's nothing that you can stop Nothing you can do to stop something like this. And it's, I saw, you know, post after post, and this is how I feel about it. And if you don't feel the same way, it's okay. We're allowed to disagree. But like, there's going to be a lot of opinionated stuff on this particular podcast with a lot of shit going on in the world. But in my opinion, gun control wouldn't have stopped this. I don't care what the laws are right now. I get people want the right to bear arms. Fine. You also want to put a strap on this and you say, no, not everybody should own a gun. Fine. I'm on the fence with that overall. My father and my stepmom take pride in the fact that they have their guns. You know what I mean? Like, and their licenses and they're registered and all that other shit. That's their right. Other people are saying, why should a civilian have a gun in the first place? Those laws have nothing to do with the fact that this man opened fire on a large audience and killed a lot of people. You know, I have friends that have video and they've sent me that they refuse to send and to post because it's just, they saw people get picked off. You know, they're dead. It's over. You know, so it's another thing where, you know, how do you, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe this because when I woke up to the news of this and I said my piece saying that, you know, the world's cruel and it's just there's shitty people out there. It's hard for me to follow that up on that particular day within the first couple hours where it's fresh in people's minds. Like, how am I going to, like yesterday, that was my only post on social media. It was Vegas related. I couldn't follow that up with, you know, how about my Cowboys or you know, let's go Yankees. It doesn't make sense to me. I always have a hard time grasping that somebody, you know, multiple hundreds of people are injured, 50 some odd people are dead, their families are crushed, and you're on social media having a grand old time. I don't know. It's just the way, like I said, some people, that's their healing mechanism. They like to forget about it and move past it. These people can't move past it. Their lives are changed forever. Vegas is calling for trauma people, experts, to come out and help these people because they're going to be going through a lot of shit for the next couple years, if not the rest of their lives. You know, I got a text from a friend saying they were on lockdown and she was in the basement of the actual casino where it was all happening. I mean, not the venue. I mean, that's some scary shit. And then today, you know, I scroll on Facebook and the media and just to look at people's reactions and the fact that people, I saw one picture where they painted the guy as a Muslim and then they painted the guy as a Trump supporter and the hashtag was America. Like, do you not have a soul? Like, do you not understand what just transpired here? People lost their lives. I don't want to hear the too soon, bro. You know what I mean? Like, there's never going to be a too soon for something like this. There's never going to be a too soon for things like 9/11. And I still daily see certain people say, inside job, this, that, and the other. Yeah, tell that to my stepmom who saw the plane whiz by her head and crash into a building. Tell it to her. You know what I mean? Like, where do these people get off, like, just not making jokes, but making light of a situation like this? You know, we've gone through, as a country, I've gone through a lot of shit in the past 6 months alone, let alone last 15, 16 years with 9/11. You know, there's a lot that happens that people just decide it's not important enough to them. And they're going to move past it. And I get it. Like today, yeah, I talked about the Yankees. It's the Yankees fucking postseason game. I talked about losing fantasy last night to a fluke thing. You know what I mean? Like, you can, you let it marinate yesterday and you really, like, you take some time to really reflect and then you think about it. And this is the kind of shit that I've been talking about for 35 episodes now. And that's being positive and being the best person you could possibly be every day. You're going to make your mistakes. I've made plenty. I continue to make mistakes in life. They happen. But life is 90% of what happens to you and 10% of how you react. You know, you have to be able to Like, you can't control what happens sometimes. You just can't. Whether you say something wrong, do something wrong, act the wrong way, whatever the case. Like, if words come out of your mouth and then you say, oh, you know, I shouldn't have said that, you already said it. So it's already done. It's how you react and it's how you adjust. You know, I relate, you know, life to sports a lot. It's how you make your halftime adjustments and start over. Every day is a new day. It really is. And this is a perfect example of, you know, something catastrophic as this to happen. Go fucking hold your loved ones. Go tell somebody you love them. It just, you know, you got to do it. And now's the time. You know, there's too much going on. And I would never segue into something else. So my thoughts and prayers are with Vegas. And I truly hope that whatever the reason for this was, that it's found out, that it's discussed and it's addressed and it's solved. Or if not solved, worked on. Worked on. Just little gradual process to eliminate this evil. And this evil is in the form of people shooting up crowds. And it's also in the form of our leader. I'll be honest, you know, some people don't like to talk about who they voted for, and some people are very loud about who they voted for. I wasn't a loud and proud Make America Great Again. I was just very anti-Hillary, and I just didn't like what was going on. And I thought to myself, do we bring this brash, loudmouth, pompous-ass, cocky mother effer into the White House to be the leader of our country? And I said, you know what? Hell yeah. Let's do it. Let's bring in Donald Trump into the White House. And it's one of those situations where you truly don't know what you're getting until you get it. Anybody that goes around politicking and on their campaigns and all this other shit, anybody who goes around and says, make America great again, and rallies up red, white, and blue, of course you're going to get behind them, especially on who he's running against. He's running against somebody that wasn't pro-military, you know, that wasn't the right to do this and the right, you know what I mean? Like, all the He-Man fucking red-blooded males are all like, yeah, fucking Trump all day, and I'm with him. I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. I'll vote for him, and I did. And now, you know, 1 year into it almost, you know, November will be a year since he was elected. And I think this man has done nothing more than tear this fucking country apart. And people are just angry. They're angrier as this year's passed. The people that are behind him from Jump Street, like the hardcore, everybody wearing red hats and shit and fucking Make America, yeah. You know, those people, they're probably still ecstatic of the shit that's going on. Me, on the other hand, I'm at a loss of words. Some of the shit that he says, I question why, and I question what the fuck. Like, what are you thinking when you say these things? Like, what sense does that make? I don't. You're a shit stirrer. The NFL had something go wrong last year. To me, some people thought it was right. To me, when Colin Kaepernick took the knee for the first time and said what he was doing it for, I said, no way, fuck him. Can't deal with it. You're a piece of shit. You disrespected this, blah, 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 blah. I was very ignorant at the time. I wasn't a fan of him doing what he did because I felt like he was disrespecting the flag. Now, you know, fast forward, you think that, okay, he's doing this for a movement for his people and equality. That part I get. Do I think he should have wore the fucking pig socks to training camp that one day? Or the Fidel Castro shirt? Okay, you're still an asshole. To me, Colin Kaepernick is still an asshole. And I'm telling you right now, he'll never work again. He blackballed himself. He's out. That's it. You're not going to see him on another team. You saw Jay Cutler get signed over Colin Kaepernick. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to see Kaepernick suit up anymore. He might as well move to Canada if he wants to play ball. However, Donald Trump, I don't understand, like, I never liked when politics got mixed with sports because to me, sports was like first of all, the sports is what I know. I don't know all of politics, so I always talk sports. I don't always talk politics because I don't know it. I don't like when people talk about things they don't know because then they sound stupid and it's hard to hold an argument. But when this guy came out of left field and said, you know, look at these people, these sons of bitches should be fired for kneeling and doing what they're doing in protest against inequality. I'm not even going to say the flag anymore because I truly don't even think they believe that in their own minds. Nobody is against the country. They just want equality. They want the same shit for everybody, which I get. I understand. So now the president, who is supposed to be the most professional person on the planet, and I knew going into this presidency that it was going to be different, and it was going to be a little, he might throw in a couple quips in there, like, wow, did he get away with that? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to think like that out loud. But then he comes out and disses the entire NFL. Talks about the owners, talks about the players. First of all, stay the fuck out of the NFL. We're dealing with our own shit on a day-to-day basis as a fan and as some people, humanitarians. Like, I can't even stomach, you know? Like, I can't. I feel that, like, you have no business talking about what's going on. Like, we deal with the rapists of the world and domestic violence and all this other shit. And there's scummy people out there in the NFL. We know this. Okay, if you're a fan of the NFL, you know there's shitbags on each team for their own reasons, you know? So for Trump to get his ass involved with something that we all use as an escape, the NFL is something, sports as a whole is something that we use as an escape from all the political bullshit that we got to deal with every day. And now you dragged sports into this. You dragged the NFL into this. And I just said, you know what, man? Fuck this guy, man. And now I actually went on Twitter and I looked at his tweets. Constant tweets. Like, I'm talking just a timeline. And I looked at some of the shit that he says. And it's like, wait a minute. You're supposed to be the leader of this country. What are you doing? Talking about the certain things that you talk about. And he talks like, and pardon not diss, but like, he talks like a retard. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he talks like he's not all there. And it's upsetting. Because, like, this is the guy that needs to take us for the next 4 years in the right direction. And for the first year, I'm telling you right now, it's not. It's not. And the kneeling issue and all this other shit, we'll have to deal with that as a country on our own. The NFL will deal with that. They're not going to go penalizing people for doing what they do. And then, you know, there's different protests. There's the locking arms. There's the kneeling. There's what Dallas did. Kneel for a minute in prayer. Get up and fucking lock arms for the national anthem. And I'm not being this as a diehard Cowboys fan, but like, that seemed like to be the, like, if you want to protest something, that's the kind of way you want to do it. And then Trump praises the Cowboys. That's the way you should do it. Stay the fuck out of it. I'm done with this guy. I'm done with him. He has made my friends angry at each other. Whether it be this topic or that topic or whatever topic this guy brings up, he makes people angry. Do I support my military and my police? 100,000% yes. I buy the salute to service gear every year for the Cowboys. I love my country. I love my military. And I love the policemen and policewomen that protect us every day. But you don't need... I'm going to make an analogy here. And I just thought of it. You know when, like, you're in like grammar school or middle school or even high school and you get in a fight, like a physical fist fight. And before the fight, there's always that one friend that's rallying them up like, oh, shit, oh, man, oh. You know what I mean? Like that one guy that just won't shut the fuck up. That's Donald Trump. There's issues. There's conflict. There's controversy with everything in the world today. That will always be, no matter what. We will never live in a fucking world where it's peace and quiet and perfect. Not going to happen. just because people have opinions, and it'll never happen. But we also don't need this antagonist shit stirrer in office to piss people off on the regular. On the regular. It happens every day. Every day somebody's saying some fuck Trump, this, that, and the other. Like, holy shit. And I stand by this. I wasn't an Obama fan. I didn't vote for Obama. But like, there wasn't this kind of anger. There was frustration. There was people like, ugh, thanks a lot, Obama. You know, like, there was different things that you would disagree with. I disagree with some of this shit, but he didn't go on record and start poking the bear. He didn't start saying that Puerto Rico was this or the NFL is that. Fuck, Obama was a sports fan, and I liked seeing him. I liked seeing a leader who had a life outside of being the political guy that he was. You know, for Christ's sakes, Bush owned the Texas Rangers. You know what I mean? So, like, you want to tie that stuff in, you can. But do it in moderation. Not fire those sons of bitches for doing what they're doing. Like, holy shit, man. Oh, just distasteful shit over and over. Whew. So, yeah, those two hot button topics definitely, got me going. Let me plug a couple things. I know it's like, what was he saying? Let me plug a couple things that are coming up, obviously, and then we'll take a break, get Gino Gotz kicked in the head, which congratulations on his first podcast release with Casey Cattell and his hosts and all sorts of shit. It was a very cool listen. Go check that out on the B-Plus Player Radio and Shining Wizards Network. Congratulations to the High Spot Podcast, who just landed their affiliation with the B-Plus Player Radio, and I'm assuming even if I tossed it over to Shining Wizards Network, they can get on there too. Podcasting is something, and Colt Cabana said it best. He had a great tweet about podcasting, and I should read it word for word, but I won't. Look it up. Everybody should kind of root for everybody in a world like this where there used to be total domination by one thing. Nobody's the best at it. There's no ranking system. There's no like, oh, Steve Austin's better than Jericho. Who's better than Sam Roberts? Who's better than, conversation with the big guy, RIP. There's no ranking system. There's just people's flavors. So go check out Gino Gotz Kicked in the Head. A Drink with Gino every other week. Basically, the weeks that I'm off, he's on. So we kind of work that out. WrestlePro is back October 13th, Friday the 13th at the Railway Rec Center. Also, Saturday the 14th in Brooklyn, New York. We're doing back-to-back shows. Last time we did that was a huge success, so we're really hoping that it's the same way. Obviously, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, Al Snow, Sanjay Dutt, Janela is back. Obviously, the barbed wire match between Dan Moff and Pat Buck will go down. We shot something last night, which I really think is going to hype up this match. We shot it last night. Me, Eddie, Moff, Pat, everybody involved. It was good, and I can't wait for it to get mixed up. Shout out to Shining Wizards, Eddie, Shining Edward Jackson, Eddie. He is the man. He is putting together some of the coolest shit in the world, and we have brainstormed a lot of stuff together. And I think with my new sort of open schedule, which I'll get more into after the break, but we can make magic together. I think it's going to be fucking awesome from a production standpoint. Obviously, we've already plugged the two October shows, but there's more. October is back on 10/21. We're in Mattawan, and on 10/28, we're in Creskill. So four shows in October alone for WrestlePro. You thought we were calming down. Come on, stop it. There's so much more. There's such a bright future ahead. Things are different now. Pat Buck is now, I'm not saying he left, but he's back into the schematics of making WrestlePro the next big thing, and I'm so right there with him, along with Kevin Matthews and everybody involved from top to bottom. So those are your shows coming up. Don't forget also, Battle Club Pro is coming back November 4th. Since we're bi-weekly, you won't hear from me as much, so I like to plug as much as I can at one time. Battle Club Pro is back and making its debut in New Jersey, which I'm very happy about. I don't got to pay tolls, so that's kind of cool. I'll get more into that, obviously, as it gets closer. But, there's been some shit stirring a little bit between me and Mike Orlando. A lot of people took what I said in a promo video, saying that I was going to make this in-ring return. I'm not gonna dead that idea. I'm not, because there's always ideas flowing through my mind. But you poke the bear too many times, you know, you're gonna fucking stir something up. So let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we'll talk about a couple more things I want to talk about as far as what's been going on in the life of me. And, you know, your WWE stuff, your NFL stuff. We already talked about the playoffs, obviously. And, yeah, we'll be back right after this. Enjoy Gino Gatz, Kicked in the Head.
What do you hear? What do you say? It's your boy Gino Gatz, and I'm back with another edition of Kicked in the Head right here on the Destruction 101 podcast, which is on the Shining Wizards Network and the B Plus Player Radio. I also just found out that we're on the iTunes, the Stitcher, the SoundCloud, the YouTubes. We're on all that shit. But whatever, that's for you to figure out, and I guess me to let you know about. Doesn't matter. Things I want to figure out. I want to figure out religion. I don't get it. I wish I did, but I don't. Gino Gatz has no religion. Do I believe in God? Maybe we have like a mutual agreement. I stay at his house, he stays at my house. But you know what? I wish I had some religion. I wish I had some stability, some rules, something to follow. Where am I going to go when I die? Where are they going to bury me? All right, I'm going to go to hell, and I'm going to take over. He's just keeping my seat warm, no pun intended. But what are you going to do? Where am I going to be buried in the hospital? Am I going to be cremated? Am I going to be buried under the sand, under the water? Am I going to be under the fucking... I don't know. But what about when I get married? What if the broad I marry wants to get married in a church? So I'm not above, you know, lying to a priest and telling them that my confirmation and christening papers, they all got burnt in the fire in Brooklyn. It was a very bad story. The little puppy died. I didn't want to talk about it. It's very sad and emotional to me. So please, just if you just did the service, that'd be nice. But what are you going to do? Maybe I did make the right choice. I mean, my God, not Danny Moff. That's God. But my God, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. He beat your God. He's 1-0. Kind of like I am. Maybe I did make the right choice. Who knows? Well, ladies, if you want to get married in a church, I am all for it. You could find me at Gino_Gatz on the Twitter. It's A Drink with Gino for the new show on the Twitter. And you can hit me up. Let me know how you feel. This is Gino Gatz. You're only as good as your last envelope, folks. So keep the hustle going, baby. Tell me quick. Love a kick. Tell me quick. Ain't love a kick in the head.
Thank you, Gino Gatz, for your morbid ass installment of dying and burying and God and all that shit. I won't touch on all that. Again, congrats to Gino for his first show. His first appearance with Casey Kittel, which sounded like they were going through a fucking wind tunnel the entire time. So definitely work on that, Gino. But other than that, a great episode nonetheless. Happy to have him on board with the B-Plus Player Radio Network, which you can find. Go look him up on Twitter, B-Plus Player. Oh, shit. What is their Twitter? I don't know. Ask Mark Adam Haggerty. He's the guy behind it, and he's great at what he does. So what's been going on? Well, first and foremost, I am a homeowner. That was fucking surreal. Who would have thought, you know, signing a bunch of papers for about 50 minutes and you would own a piece of property in the state of New Jersey. And that's where I'm at right now. I moved and I found a beautiful old school looking home in Dinellen, New Jersey, which is next to, if you're not familiar with New Jersey, it's next to Piscataway, South Plainfield, Middlesex, that area, exit 5 off of 287, if that makes any sense to you. But I'm very excited. It's a lot of house. And let me tell you something, I'm going from a one bedroom apartment to this massive fucking house, man. There's a basement, there's a finished attic, which is what I'm going to turn into my man cave. At least that's what my wife told me I can do. So, you know, nothing's for sure until it actually happens. But there's, you know, three bedrooms, a massive living room, a huge, nice backyard. It's just, there's a lot of house, and I'm very proud of myself for getting here. Obviously, I couldn't get here without my wife because she did most of the brunt work because I'm always busy. I've been too busy. And that's kind of where I'm leading towards. Like, I tend to stack my plate high all the time. I always think that, you know, I definitely have time for this. I have time for that. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I always overwhelm myself. And that's my own fault. It's nobody's fault but my own. And I, you know, I've been coaching. I work at the school every day with my students. I do the raw weight thing. I book myself here. You know, I do all this shit. And then the podcast takes a hit. And I'm telling you right now, I don't think I was ready for the amount of time coaching would take out of my life. And now with the new house, it's like, oh shit, you know, I don't have time for anything. So like I reworked my schedule with coaching and I'm going to be going a little less, you know, I'll be there for the games and the day after the games and like one day during a week where I do a lot of film work and break down some film. So it's easy to scout the next opponent. But going forward, I have to take a little break because the things that I love were kind of on the back burner, and that's not fair to myself. Do I love coaching? Yes. I think it's awesome, but I'm a very low on the totem pole right now where I don't have a significant role where in my head I thought, you know, going in there, like, I'll just design the playbook and I'll be the offensive coordinator and all this. And obviously there's such a ranking system where you know that that's not going to be the case. But, this is not going to sound like, I'm not sounding a douche, but I let Mark Adam Haggerty run around and get himself booked for a ring announcer position everywhere. Okay. And I know I'm getting better at it. So why am I not expanding that? Why am I not chasing down these promotions for commentary when I know I'm the best out there right now? And that's not just, I have confidence in my abilities. Me and Eddie are the best team going right now. When I make magic with Money Morales, we are the best going. Those are the two squads that should be traveling squads on the Indies, okay? Like, those are the two teams that should be on every promotion if you want to promote your product and tell a story and do good work and quality work. And, you know, we're not cheap. You know, I do charge, you know, to do this stuff because that's my living. But, you know, I just think that we're good at it. And I'm good at it. So why did I let that slip? Now I won't. I'm going to get back into doing what I'm doing. I'm going to train harder at the gym. I've let that also slide with like one or two workouts per week. That's unacceptable to a guy that's been an athlete my entire life. And I'm 32 now and I feel sluggish. I feel like I'm not giving it my all. And that's not acceptable to me. I need to go to the gym every day. I need to eat better meals during the day and get back into better shape. In-ring shape, who knows? I just need something. I need a competitive edge, and I need to challenge myself on that realm again. Like, I got away from it, and it's been torture. And I've, you know, ask anybody who interacts with me every day, like, you know, one of my colleagues at work that I see every morning, she knows how I feel every day. I feel like a fucking miserable bum sometimes until my student comes up to me and starts talking wrestling, and then I'm like, my day's gonna be okay, you know, but like, but like just overall, just I got away from doing what I love, and that's commentary and ring announcing and sports broadcasting, and like the coaching took that away too. And not saying like it's a bad thing to coach, but I'm not getting paid. Okay. I did all this as a volunteer from end of June, all through July, all through August, and now all through September as we hit October. There's a lot involved in coaching, and I may have missed like 3 practices total. For reasons that are, you know, completely out of my control. But like, I put a lot of time in and, you know, I'm not getting compensated for it. And that's okay. Cause I knew that going in, but I just didn't think it was going to take up so much of my time where I wouldn't be able to podcast or I wouldn't be able to promote myself, my craft, my business. You know, like I don't get to do that anymore. And when I do, it's not genuine. It's not, you know, oh, I'm so pumped for this opportunity. Like, it's not. I'm not pumped for the opportunity. I was pissed off and I was miserable. You know, so I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be behind the scenes of WrestlePro more. I want to be more involved. Had I had the money, I would ask Pat to buy into the company. I really would. I think I'm serviceable in certain areas where I would take some stuff off his plate and get a profit for it. Those ideas are always circling in my head. You know, and shout out to Pat Buck, who's currently not with Conversation with the Big Guy anymore. He's going back to do his own thing. There's a lot in store for that. He's got to cross some T's, dot some I's, and he will be back in podcast land soon enough. Buckstruction 101 sounds perfect, but I know he likes to do his own thing, and he's going to kill it. He's got a voice that I can listen to for hours and hours, and I have for as long as I've known him. So shout out to him as well. But like I said, I got away from the things that I love the most. But don't get me wrong. I do not love my coaching, and I don't not love my team. I've really built a good rapport with my kids and the student athletes that some of them, and I say this a lot, like, you know, college students and high school students, these kids are more passionate than anybody else because they're not playing for a paycheck. They're playing to be notarized in the fucking daily paper. You know what I mean? They're playing their hearts out to try to get a scholarship so they don't have to have student debt for the rest of their lives. So I got a lot of kids that are skilled, and right now we're 1-3. We're heading into a bye week, which we definitely need. We lost our quarterback last game, so we need to, you know, get him healthy. They're playing hard. We lost in overtime, which to me, college rules overtime is very, or high school, I'm sorry. So it's identical to college where each team gets the ball and this and that, and they start on the 25, and it's just like, it is an adrenaline rush. And for the first time all season in game 4, our headsets weren't working, so I was on the sidelines for the game itself. And it's a different beast because people are running around, going nuts, coordinators going apeshit, players going nuts. You got to contain them when things are happening. There's a lot involved. But like I said, 1-3, the kids are still fighting as hard as they possibly can. We got a big game coming up against Union, which obviously I will not be at because I choose professional wrestling and my broadcast career over the game. It's just what I'm doing. It's just how I'm choosing it. And I know it's hard for me to equal out both, but you know what? Sometimes shit has to get done. The NFL, to catch up and summarize, last we spoke, the Cowboys were 1-1, and now they're 2-2. So it seems to be a little bit of a trend where they win one, they lose one, they win one, they lose one. This past week was a little bit more shittier to swallow because they should have beat that team, but a couple injuries and a couple guys inactive for the game will change everything. It will change everything. Not having your best linebacker to cover one of the best running backs in the league is a big deal, and they exposed the shit out of it. They played one half of football. The Cowboys didn't finish, and that's just the way it is. You know, do I think that everybody will be okay? Yeah, I think everybody will be okay. I think this team will be okay. Their next game is against Green Bay at home. Do I think they shocked the world and beat Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. I truly have no idea. I'm worried about it. Because the Packers have always been this fucking offense that has just been, just different. Do I think that they have a shot to rebound from all this? Yeah, I do. Do they look like a 9-7, 8-8 team? Yeah, they do. So if they don't go on a run, it's going to be a long back and forth season all year. Like, I'll be fucking on my high horse for a week and then we'll get shot down by the Redskins or something ridiculous like that. I think it's going to go like that all year based on their defense. Their defense is Swiss cheese and it's bad. I talked to somebody the other day who was like, you don't need a defense to win the Super Bowl. And that kind of remains to be okay and proven. Hence the Patriots. The defense has never been like world beaters, you know? It's always been Brady and all his weapons. But we're not Brady, and we don't have all those weapons. So we definitely need a defense. It's going to be a long year. Back and forth. But the Giants are 0-4, so there's that. They're just a fucking abomination of football right now. The Jets are 2-2. So the Jets have double the wins that the Giants do, and the Jets were supposed to throw the season away. So, I mean, it is just all-out melee in the NFL right now. In my fantasy seasons, I am officially 3-1 in one league, 3-1 in the Creator Pro League, and 2-2 in the league that I run based off of a last-second loss because of the Kansas City defense, and I'm still hurting for that one. I'll get to your questions right now. J.P. Mayer, since we're on the topic of a lot of the questions that you guys touched on, J.P. Mayer, with the regular season over in baseball, who do you see as the award winners in both leagues? Stanton in the NL, Judge in the AL. It makes sense. I mean, Stanton hit fucking 59 home runs. It's hard. I mean, yeah, you can give it to a pitcher because obviously it's a pitchers-driven league. But in the NL, you know, it's hard to compete against Stanton. And Judge, it's hard to give Judge an MVP on his rookie year. You know, I say that it's hard to do that in baseball and football. You know, Dak and Zeke were up for those awards last year as rookies. But it's a hard toss. My gut says give it to the two power hitters for those as well. Franklin Myers, who do you think has the best shot at the Super Bowl as of right now? Well, that's very, very hard to say. And I really, truly think that this season, 4 weeks, four games in, is the most wide open you've ever seen it. The only undefeated team that remains is the Kansas City Chiefs, and they came back and won, I believe, three out of their four games, and they're looking better and better. Their defense is holding on. I love KC, and I love the Patriots always in the AFC. I mean, it's just that would be a hell of a AFC championship game. Be careful of watching out for the Texans. I think Deshaun Watson might be the real deal. He might be this year's Dak Prescott, where everybody and he wears the same damn number. How about that? But he just he makes some plays last week where it's just like, wow, you know, this kid might be special. And that's really, I mean, the Bills have a chance to make the playoffs. So it's too early to tell. In the NFC, wide open. You thought the Falcons were going to be world beaters. They lose to Buffalo. You think that, you know, Green Bay has all the answers. They're not undefeated. They're not unstoppable. The Cowboys are going to struggle here and there, and it's just the way it is. What do we got? Jets. Here we go. Mike Malaria with a Jets question. The Jets have already got your predicted two wins. Now that we're in season a bit, what are your revised predicted standings? I see the Jets still coming in last in the division, but I think five wins is not out of the realm of a possibility. I'm not going to go through the entire standings right now. Are five wins possible for this Jets team? I think so. I think they have enough on offense, and their defense is shaping up to be pretty solid. I don't see them. I don't see why they couldn't win six or seven based on, you know, their schedule gets a little tougher as it goes forward. They might lose a game and get blown to shit, and you're going to be like, oh, no, like, here we go again. But remember, most Jets fans came into this season thinking, no dice, not going to happen. Let's get that first pick. I don't play like that. I don't think, because I've seen too many first-round picks, first overall, I've seen too many not play out. And you've seen a lot of that in within the last 15, 20 years. You've seen a lot of stuff not work out because of that. Do you really want to gamble a whole season away for something that doesn't work out? You know, I would just play to win every year and just deal with the draft pick that you're dealing with. I don't think the Giants are going to pack it in. They're 0-4. I don't think they pack it in at all. So, you know, playing for playing for the pick, I don't think is a good strategy because you never know. I think this draft coming up is very quarterback heavy, so you might find the diamond in the rough down the line. Keep in mind, Dak Prescott, fourth round. Tom Brady, sixth round. You know what I mean? They're out there. You don't have to go tanking a whole season for one pick. It's too much of a gamble. But in the same note that I say that the first round pick isn't guaranteed, some people might value that pick for something else. Hence, I think, and this is off the wall and I've been called crazy, but the Giants are 0-4 right now. Odell Beckham has been the biggest distraction since Terrell Owens on the field. I've never seen anything like it. It's all about me, all eyes on me, and he's not helping anybody. What the Giants need right now is an offensive line. Everybody there is hot garbage, and they know it. They've addressed it in the media. Like, it's not foreign news, you know what I mean? Like, it's not. So why not take Odell Beckham and trade it for a first-round pick and their best lineman of whoever you trade it to, right? You get a first-round pick. Because Odell's worth the first-round pick skill-wise, I think. And then your compensation is getting one of their offensive linemen. Why not? Like I said, just an idea. It might sound stupid to some, but I think that you're 0-4. Odell's played, you know, a couple of the games already. Has caught touchdowns, yes, but the ultimate result is a loss. And I said that the other day with Odell Beckham. Like, dude, wait a minute. Like, everything that he's done of note, the catch, the original catch that got this whole thing sparked was against the Dallas Cowboys. They lost that game. The kicking net incident, lost that game. The Josh Norman shit, they lost that game. Then you want to take a piss on the field and pretend you're a dog, you lost that game. So when does it end? When does it end for Odell Beckham to stop the bullshit and play football and help your team win instead of worrying about you? That's another topic for another day. John Caruso, Johnny Clash. Why is Dave such a fuckboy? Well, He's a little bitter because I beat his candy ass in fantasy this week. And when I say I beat him by 40 points. So it wasn't like, oh, it's a nail biter with me and Johnny Clash. Johnny Clash, you deserve nothing but losses in your life. Okay? So you keep losing in the ring, and now you're losing to me in fantasy. You are now the same record as me, 3-1. I have the tiebreaker over you because I made you my bitch. Anyway, Nick Scott Silverstein, CPA. Can you read your entire time hop for the day out on the show? I do have a lot of memories. I do, but I'm not going to do that. But thanks about that, buddy. Scott Jones. What was the most important thing you learned from the experience with the Brooklyn Nets? Also, for someone like me, maybe he wants to get into ring announcing or commentary, working with a wrestling promotion in general, what advice or suggestions would you have? Scott, I don't know your background. I don't know where you've worked. I don't know what experience you have in like scholastics or education. I went to broadcasting school. That's what I wanted to do since Jump Street. So that's the route I took. And then I was able to get the internships with the Giants and work with Major League Baseball and work in the NFL and do those certain things. So what do I take away from the Brooklyn experience? Fucking know somebody, man. Like, unfortunately, this line of work of broadcasting is very, very who you know. It's a sad deal, but it is what it is. And I learned that I'm more talented than 390 other people. They told me that, and I was right there on the cusp. I was told by the guy in charge that I was basically hired had this guy not stepped down from Cleveland. Like I said, the Cleveland Cavaliers guy, all world, has done Olympic stuff. His credentials and his resume speaks for itself. He deserves that position. I just think that, you know, why not? There was a lot of people saying, well, you know, that's false publicity and this, that, and the other. I mean, keep in mind, I was on the news. I was like, these things were covered by media outlets and then totally forgotten about. So, it is what it is. If you'd like to get started in the business, I hate, and this is not a knock on you at all, I hate when guys come into the business with no experience and just think they can do it. Case in point, JP Mayer, love you to death as a person. You're not supposed to be ring announcing. You are a fan. The fact that somebody brought you in to ring announce over people that have the experience and are paid professionals to do this is nauseating. Again, you want to do it? Do it. It's great. You want to get better at it? Get better at it. Awesome. But I think you have to put the time in just like you do in the ring. You have to pay your dues in and outside the ring. There's no such thing as coming into the business as like a manager, which unfortunately UWA and SWF and companies like that, they just, for whatever reason, want to employ certain people to be the manager with no experience whatsoever, and they look foolish most of the time. And it's not a knock on the promoters of those shows. I just think that some people just don't belong. And that's it. Like, sorry, you know, the cut and dry. So what I recommend to you is if you would like to get into something like a broadcasting or a ring announcing or anything like that, go to school for it first, man. Get your feet wet and go that route just so you can go to a wrestling promotion like myself and say, hey, this is my background. Give me a shot. Because I'm also in control of the WrestlePro Facebook page and the messages we get every day from talent saying, hey, I wrestled here, trained by here. Here's my fucking 8x10. Hire me. You know, no. You don't. It doesn't work like that. It's never worked like that. So I don't know why they're trying now. It makes no fucking sense to me. So yeah, Scott, if you want in on it, put the work in. Put the work in. You know, talk first. You know, do a public speaking course in college. Something. These are all things that I've done. So I'm able to talk to myself for 45 minutes to an hour every 2 weeks. So I hope that answers those. Jeremy Thompson, considering, oh, by the way, Jeremy, hope that your play is going well and tickets were fucking immaculate because of the promotion between me and you. Considering the examples like the Roman Reigns and John Cena feud that led to No Mercy, when do you think it's quite pertinent to resort to shoot promo for a feud? I think what those guys did, basically gloves off kind of deal, is perfect for pro wrestling. I think it's awesome what they did. When is it necessary? When it's John Cena and Roman Reigns, and they can't seem to find, like, if John Cena went up there and said, you can't see me, and then Roman's like, it's my yard, and like, you wouldn't be interested in that because you hate him all of a sudden. Everybody hates John Cena. Everybody hates Roman Reigns. All the kids love Cena. All the kids love Reigns. Every other Mark boy in the world hates the two for whatever fucking reason. I don't know. I mean, look, they're the top dogs in the promotion in the company. It's hard to hate those guys. And I would never say anything like that because they're uber talented. But when the interest is not with the adult fans anymore because they want to be fucking smarter than the average bear, it's just you turn the tables right that like bam, like, okay, I'm gonna take a dig at you here and get the adult fan to say, oh wow, I didn't see that coming, like, I can't believe you just said that, you know what I mean? Like, get them with the shock factor. It's not gonna work everywhere. It'll work with promotions and companies that need to get the guys over just a little bit more. So I think it's more important and pertinent, as you say, to include it when it's absolutely necessary. And when they do deliver that shit, boy, is it entertaining, especially to me and, you know, the people that are adults and get the business, like the ins and the outs. You know, I've only been around for 5 years, but I get a good promo. I understand what's a good and what's not a good promo. And that shit was money. The fallout, you gave it to Reigns. Cena goes away for a while. Cena will be back when he's needed. So that's all the questions this week. Like I said, social media, go follow me on all that. Dave Sturch on Twitter, DaveSturch. Follow that. Follow my Instagram, same thing. My Snapchat, been very uninvolved in Snapchat lately. Don't know why, just kind of fell off it. Follow the WrestlePro Facebook pages, the WrestlePro Twitters, the WrestlePro Instagrams, all that shit. Follow all my friends, Gino Gotz, Mark Adam Haggerty, The Wizards, all those guys, Pat Buck, everybody involved in podcast land and all these promotions. Follow the High Spot Podcast, who maybe are very, very close to locking up a long-term deal to be an official sponsor of WrestlePro, which is awesome. I'm very happy to have them back. Go check out the High Spot Podcast with yours truly from Rawway. I was on that one, and every episode they bring to you is money, money good. That's all from me, folks. I think I went long. I don't even know. But enjoy this. Enjoy the week. Enjoy. Actually, the next time we will talk will be after the WrestlePro show. So we'll recap all that. Or I might come by and surprise somebody with a podcast next week previewing all the matches. We'll see. Yeah, never know. But with that being said, have a good weekend, everybody. Have a good rest of the week. Finish strong. Be positive. Remember, folks, I'm telling you right now, just be as positive as you possibly can be with all the bullshit happening in this world today, whether it be the most catastrophic lows or the highest of highs. Stay level-headed, stay humble, and stay hungry. I'll see you guys later.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told, paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I got all the answers to your questions. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all you stressing. It's a thin line between love and hate. Is you really real or is you really fake? I'm a soldier standing on my